the Wesley movie you heard about over these last few weeks during the series on John Wesley. We have two special showings lined up for that. The first is tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. in room 232, and then the second showing will be a week from today, next Sunday in the evening at 6 p.m. in room 232. And it is a really, really good movie, and it captures well John Wesley's biography. So I encourage you, if you're interested, to join us for that. The Marriage Course. About that over the last couple of Sundays. This Tuesday is the special Valentine's date night, and last I heard there were 2 spots available. That's it. There's 2 more spots available for this great evening that they have planned. Chef Brandon's got a great venue. You can sign up for that online. But you can also still sign up for the marriage course itself, which will begin the following Tuesday, February 17th. And right now, the celebration, we have 31 couples who have already signed up for that. And that is really, really good. So please, if you're interested, take a look at that. Talk to Earl and Sharon. They're sitting back there at the mock table that they have set up. We encourage you to sign up for that. We have an app that we announced last Sunday for the first time. There's a blurb about it inside the bulletin. You can access our new app through any of the app stores, whether you're an iPhone user or Android phone user. You can get the app just by searching Trinity UMC, and I know that that works because how I downloaded it, and I helped one of our members download it once the other day just by searching Trinity UMC in the app store. You can find it there. You want to have it this week if you frequent our website, because beginning tomorrow morning, we are going to be taking our website down for 2 to 3 days to give it a facelift. The director of communications, Kelly Pink, has some great plans for giving a new, fresh look to our website. I'm so excited about the work that she's going to be doing. But you can still sign up for things like Marriage Course and things like the app and download the app. One other thing, like the devotion. As you know, we have a tradition here at Trinity of during the Advent season and the Lent season. You guys help us by providing the band's daily Christian emails, and it's always such a blessing to see what it is that you have to say, your reflections. So we're looking for 40-plus of you who have maybe contributed in the past or have a writing gift and would like to participate this Lent. Please provide some devotions to Jim Cook. Cook at TrinityCNC.org by February 16th, because believe it or not, that starts on that Wednesday, which is great. Those are all of the announcements that I have this morning. If you're here for the first time today, welcome. I'm glad that you're with us. Please stop by our Every expression of love and justice.
it for those who, for whatever reason, on the day to day, gather you with us, and for those who are in their homes and unable to get out, for those who have to depend on caretakers, and I pray for their caretakers as well. Lord, let us all remember we are one in you. This is my journey in this short story. Father, you are in heaven.
quickly again. And you can drop it off in the front here in the back here from the front of the museum. And hopefully it will create a beautiful visual. Thank you.
you have faith in the Lord and you know me.
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
You believe in my faith.
Yes, I'm going to look at my way.
This one will be not my tongue. It's really interesting.
You met me today in my mother's room. I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you. Say, I am beautiful and wonderful.
I am beautiful and wonderful.
Don't look so wonderful.
I pray what happened to you.
I know it's the business.
I was
holding
together
in
the depths
of
your
eyes
are my entering
body.
My eyes are made of the things for me, and the
days are going to come. Who is this in your book? Is there a new
place to be? What is that? What is
coming from? Well, I can
help you. How can you keep me from the murder? You can't have to say that.
I'm trying to
who have multiple disabilities. Some disabilities like epilepsy are hidden. Some disabilities are static, so you lost with a hand or leg. Some are episodic, such as seizures, or some are progressive, such as muscular dystrophy. Some are progressive and unpredictable, such as multiple sclerosis. Obesity and stuttering are included by the common disabilities and the American Disabilities Act to protect people with HIV. Now, I skipped this part, but about 15% of people with disabilities are born with those disabilities. The rest become disabled at some time during their life, be it an illness or accident. Some disabilities are permanent, others are temporary. There are people with developmental disabilities, such as mental retardation, physical disabilities, such as paraplegia, mental disabilities, and sensory disabilities, blindness, and deafness. Now, another interesting fact is that many people with disabilities attempt to pass and choose not to self-identify as disabled. In other words, they hide their disability to avoid the stigma of being labeled. For there is a stigma creates considerable tension from the worry of being discovered and limits their ability to be attention. Now, unlike gender, race, national origin, sexual orientation, one can join the ranks of the quote disabled at a moment's notice. Disability knows no socioeconomic boundaries. A person who is disabled from birth or from childhood generally has a very different experience in social context. Something that I was simply, not something that I didn't know, but I just didn't, maybe I didn't want to know, maybe I didn't want to think about it, but something that I was not super aware of is the idea that there are a lot of these folks, and Roger has been one who helped me understand. There are a lot of folks who are very vulnerable and unable to speak up for themselves. So I always admire Roger. He comes to my office, we get to chat, and he always gets thanks for the ability to communicate. He gets thanks because he can communicate and speak for himself where there are people who are unable to speak for themselves. And so he always has felt, I'll speak my God. On behalf of others, give voices to the voiceless. The disability community is the only minority group with a huge social service system. There are literally hundreds of different types of programs, organizations, and agencies on the local, state, and federal level that assist people with disabilities. These are funded by state and federal monies, as well as by local communities. It's a vast amount of money that is spent on disability programs operated by both the public and private sector. And this is in a sense where one finds success and awareness of disability. My first story is of agencies and programs that can haunt your brain. People with disabilities tell terrible stories of bungling bureaucracy, of humiliation. idea of Christ's person and Christ theologically, meaning the idea of the church, the understanding of the church, pneumatological and spiritual implications, reflection on the three realities of politics that will be raised profound angel questions relating to suffering, in spite of being marginalized by society and the dramatic themes of oppression, liberation, so much that could be said, talked about, and debated, and discussed, and I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to tell you, I'm not even going to define what a disability is, who is disabled or not. And I'm not going to continue with, again, what I said, I feel like I'm giving you your school report. But I do want to, again, reflect on what all of this information that I took to write, and all of this information that is even out there means. Means for celebrate Disability Awareness Sunday because we are incomplete. We are an incomplete body if we are not all represented. I like how Jurgen Moltmann writes that a congregation without disabled persons being accepted is a disabled church. We are dedicating an accessible playground to this ultimately because we as a church believe. I've shared how this is my second Disability Awareness Sunday, my first ever Disability Awareness Sunday was last year here at Trinity, and I remember leaving here feeling so proud to be part of this church, a church that takes time out of worship to bring awareness, celebrate, and celebrate. It is a big deal. It is an important topic. And maybe a lot of the things that even I'll say from here on out are things that we have known, that we have heard, but that are important. The mental understanding to impart from people. I've been reflecting on a lot of things post my Cuba trip. I was in Cuba for a week, back for a little over a week now, and I enjoyed Cuba. I liked being there. It was also a very interesting experience because I had a room to myself and I had no internet. I felt so disconnected, like, when I would get there in the evening, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to, how to get information, how to, I felt disconnected, but it was good. I actually had the opportunity to be alone with my doctor, and that's mostly why I was there, but a lot of, it gave me the opportunity to reflect on a lot of things that I came to later discover, and have been processing, things that I thought I had worked through in the past and that I've forgotten about, that I think are important. And I told the 635 group that this happened. But it's all been coming in my mind and even related to this particular topic, this idea of identity. You see, I have struggled for a long time with what Henry now and who I've broken it on to describe as self-projection, which is something that he struggled with. And so he says that probably most of us suffer self-rejection. And what I have reflected in the past and recently is the idea that this idea of self-rejection goes against what our identity is. Our identity being that thing that doesn't change, that thing that that is always constant. And our identity being my identity being that of beloved, your identity being that of beloved. And the reason this has been kind of going through my brain in reflection for Disability Awareness Sunday is in the Psalm 139, I praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, wonderful are your works. This idea of beloved is our identity. It made me think of our work, which is unchanging. God
a wider horizon in which all persons in their uniqueness and vulnerability coexist within the enfolding heavens for gracious God. The utter mystery of God is revealed in the variety found in the human person, all of whom are created in God's likeness and image. People with disabilities give us a full access to the human condition and demand that we expand our definition of normal and stop making the automatic assumption that a person with a disability is the idea of likeness. Aside from the image in which we are created, more so we see our identity in Jesus. Now it's faith that we are finite creatures to live as humans to be fuller. One of the things that I mentioned earlier, one of the things we discussed in the Friendship Disability Group is the idea that at a moment's notice, any of us can change. And as we grow older, we grow closer and closer to becoming faithful. We are vulnerable. Vulnerable creations. What that means, then, is that in the incarnation, God becoming human in Jesus Christ, God embraced vulnerability, entering into a frail existence, even unto death. When we say that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God sends a clear message that says that God is in solidarity with humanity at its most fundamental level. In weakness, in brokenness, God reveals God's very character as being one of compassion, not just being with us in the midst of our finiteness, but by making it a part of God's being. Don't know a lot of things. So I didn't know who actually wrote so much related to the topic. He says the eternal God took on not only the limited and mortal aspects of humanity, he took on our disabilities and made them a part of his life. He takes on our fears and makes them so when we talk about redemption and Jesus redeeming us, it is a holistic redemption. A redemption of our bodies, of our minds, of our emotions, of our souls. And I honestly feel like I could sit down right now and let's just ponder over these things for as long as it's time. But this idea of God becoming vulnerable. I like this quote from the book Philippian Post, because our different bodies are redeemed bodies full of inclusiveness. Now, what does this mean for us as a community? To live for God means that we emulate the way of Jesus Christ, right? With the help of the Spirit, of depending on God's leadership. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a call to a new world order where outsiders become insiders. The church is the body of Christ is the quintessential inclusive community where Jesus Christ, the one who is always identified as an outsider, who died for me. As I was thinking of even further, like friends of John Wesley studies, and I Googled John Wesley's disabilities like a million times, right? To find something very specific, and I did. But I found some things that had been proven, even on a different level. Our Wesleyan heritage is very much essentially one of them. And we saw this very early on in the Methodist movement where John Wesley had these classes, meetings that we would call something like a small group, something where, again, I feel like that's where I've learned the most feedback about talking, where I've been able to experience problems. These class meetings that happened for many people, especially the poor, these gatherings that were outside of the church were the first time that these persons would have heard the gospel. That heard the gospel, that were felt included, that felt like they were part of a community. People were like persons who were poor, men, women, gathered together for a purpose that transcended and defied the social boundaries of that time and place, even of that church. Kenneth Collins says of the meetings, the destitute were no longer alienated but embraced, no longer dispossessed but empowered, no longer forgotten but cherished. kids gather as a diverse group. That's the important thing. It's diverse. There's a felt way of living, a common identity. They offer a vision of community based on Christ's work on us, not on any of these other labels that we like to see. So I say all of these things, honestly, to celebrate the church, to celebrate a lot of the things that we have done, the ways that I see this happening, and to continue to remind ourselves to continue to tell for them, to continue to embrace the gifts that is for us, the ways that we learn from each other, and to celebrate, especially on this day, at the table. For in Jesus Christ, God heals division. He reconciles the alienated. He gives hope to those who have none. Offers forgiveness to the sinner and food to the outcast. And in the end, God's love and mercy are all together. Accepting all. And I love this table for many reasons, and one of them being that it is the ultimate level playing field. For all of the walls that we build up for ourselves and the reasons that we try to create are broken down. The place where this host, this God, became vulnerable. And some of the liturgy that I was looking at says, essentially, I became naked. Jesus Christ laid on the cross. So we remember how on the night before, he became most vulnerable. Gathered together to pray. A diverse group of people you probably wouldn't expect to be called apostles later on. People you wouldn't expect to be given the opportunity to lead a movement. People like you and me, who God calls. We gather together with them, with the bread, gave thanks for it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "This is my body given for you, broken. After the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. It's often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And so, one of the many reasons why I love this table again, in addition to it being a place where we find grace, a place where we are nourished, all of these things, it is a place where when we partake of this table, we proclaim a message of inclusivity, a message where all are welcome, a message where we are God's beloved, all made in the image of God, all wonderfully created, cherished, and valued. Let's pray. God, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these things, bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, Jesus, by your blood. Make us one by your Spirit, God. One body, a diverse body, one, your body. Be with us in the breaking of the bread. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your vulnerability. We pray this to your Jesus. For answers, for helping serve forward at this time. I'm going to reiterate it, for it's an open table, which means that all who are lost will be welcome.
judgment that Jesus is upon us, and that the message that we have given has been given on this festivity Sunday. Remind us, whether or not we have been created by Jesus.